Good morning, church family. We are so excited to have you here with us to worship this morning. If you will, go ahead and stand with us as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am so sorry. We're actually not going to do that right now. Guys, I'm telling you, I was so excited. I was so excited and I was ready to go. But we've got something even better, which is baptism of a few of our young people.
Well, it got your attention, so that's the main thing. Thank you, Corey. And if you haven't figured out where I am yet, I'm in the baptistry. I'm not on the video, so there you go. It is such an honor and a privilege to start worship today, and a meaningful time to start worship today with baptism. As I have been praying, and I just prayed with the candidates just now before coming into the water, our prayer is always, when we do this, to not only be a day that they will remember for the rest of their lives, but also a day that the family can remember, but the bigger family as well. My prayer is always, as we enter into this time of worship, because it is a time of worship, that it reminds us of the day that we walk through waters just like this in our own journey. And potentially, if there's someone here who hasn't done that yet, that it'll be an inspiration for you to take that step and to make Jesus your Savior and Lord. And so on that note, I want to welcome Braxton. Braxton Cheek has made a decision to follow Jesus. And you're going to stand right there. We had a chance to meet a couple of weeks ago, and he has made Jesus his Savior and Lord. And so today he is following through in baptism. So Braxton, because of that profession of faith that you have made Jesus your Savior and Lord, it is my honor and privilege to baptize you, my little brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to walk in a new life. Next, we have Maven Solis. And Maven and I got to meet a few weeks ago as well, and she's excited to let you know that Jesus is her Savior and Lord. She's just a little hesitant to get in the water right now. You're fine. Come on. Here we go. I'll hold your hand. There we go. There she is. I'll hold you up a little bit. How's that? This is Maven. Maven, because of your profession of faith. Can you touch? You're good, right? All right. Because of your profession of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, it's my honor and privilege to baptize you, my little sister in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in a new life. You okay? And now we have Luke Strike. Luke, we have met as well, and he is big brother to two sisters, and so we are excited today, Luke, for your profession as well. Because of your profession of Jesus as Savior and Lord, it is my privilege and honor to baptize you, my little brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to walk in a new life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what such a blessing to be able to begin worship today on this Disciple Now weekend when we're focused on following you and growing in our relationship with you. I can't think of a better way to start our worship today as a family in recognizing the change and the difference that you make in our lives. Thank you for each of these that have made this profession and followed through to share with the church and the world that you are their Savior. I pray that, again, as we talked a moment ago, that you will help this be a day they will never forget. I pray it will be a day that their families cherish, and I pray that it would be a day for us as a church family that we will be inspired in our walk with you. And so, Lord, be glorified today in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, y'all know that I'm ready. So go ahead and stand up, and we're going to praise the Lord this morning by singing Holy is the Lord.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the Good morning, church family. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Church, I have got to tell you something amazing that happened this week. And if you've noticed, all the ministers as well as several teenagers and adults are wearing these shirts. We had our Disciple Now this weekend, and it was a wonderful time. We had 46 teenagers a part of it. But wonderful. But our church has been talking about moments and making our moments matter. And this weekend, we had several moments. Several of you brought food on Friday to host home. Several of you brought breakfast this morning over to the rec center. Many more of you prayed, donated, signed up the neighborhood kid. Everyone who contributed to this weekend in some form or fashion, you had a moment. And for that, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. We had such a phenomenal time. If you are a visitor here with us, we would like to tell you, welcome home. Thank you so much for being here with us today. If you wouldn't mind, in the pew in front of you, there is a yellow card, looks just like this. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, and at the end of the service today, if you'll take it on down past the nursery, there's a blue wall with a sign that says, welcome. We have a person there who's got a gift for you. Not this coffee mug, this is mine. But we do have a coffee mug that we'd love to get for you. Or you can also scan the QR code that's also in the pew in front of you. Church, it was a wonderful weekend. It was a wonderful weekend. God is moving within our church. We just saw that, not only within the teenagers, but we just had 3 children baptized today. How wonderful is that? That is so great. I'm going to pray as we continue to worship our risen King. Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for all these moments we've had over the last several weeks, the moments that we had not only this weekend with Upward and with Disciple Now, not only the moments we've had with the young children, with their families over the recent weeks, but all the conversations, all the prayers that have been happening around the dinner table. For those, God, we thank you. We thank you for moving in this place. Please prepare our hearts to worship you. Please limit all distractions. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Children, if you wouldn't mind coming to the front for Miss Ginger.
All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to talk to y'all this morning about songs. Do y'all like to sing songs? Yeah. One of the most common, one of the most high popular theme of songs is love songs. Love songs. Why would I talk to you about love songs? What's in 3 days? Valentine's, that's right, Valentine's. And Valentine's is a time when we show our friends and family how much we love them, right? Okay, I want to tell you about some of the love songs that are some of my favorites. One's really before my time. It's called Love and Marriage. Do you know that one? You don't know that one? No? Love and Marriage. No, okay. There's one, When I Fall in Love. Do you know that one? Ooh, is that yucky? When I Fall in Love? Okay. All right. There's another one called, there's a couple different artists. This one I'm referencing is by The After. It's not by Justin Bieber. This one's called Beautiful Love. Have you heard that one? It's a pretty cool song. Okay. Y'all just aren't at the stage yet where you're listening to love songs. No. Okay. That's a good thing. So when I'm going to sing another love song, we are all going to sing a love song. It's one I think that all of y'all know. But before we do that, I want you to show me love. Put a little heart with your hands like this. So every time we say the word love in this song, I want you to make the heart, okay? All right, here we go. So Jesus loves me, this I know. For the part, sing it with me, everybody. So little ones to him belong.
They are weak,
but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Y'all all knew that love song. That is the most important love that we could even share with others, right? Is God's love, Jesus' love. And that's the most important thing that we can share. So I want to read some scripture out of Matthew chapter 22. There were some Pharisees, and they were testing God and testing Jesus, and they wanted to know what was the most important commandment. What is the most important one? Well, they're all important, right? Of course they're all important. But this is, Jesus had an answer for them. So I want you to listen. So every time I say the word love in this scripture, I want you to do your little heart again, okay? So when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which is what they were calling Jesus, which command in the law is the greatest? Well, Jesus said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command, and the second is like it. love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to love God, right? And to love others. Jesus was saying, if you do those two things, all the other commands fall into place. We are to show love to others. We are to show love to God and love to others. So can y'all remember that during this Valentine? Even the person that's not so nice to you, you're going to show God's love to them, right? Okay. Okay, so we still need to show love to our brother when they're not so nice to us, right? Okay, so let's pray and ask God to help us show love to others. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that we get to share your love with others. Help us to put all our other frustrations aside and to let you shine through us. In your precious and holy name we pray, amen.
My soul finds rest in God alone, my rock and my salvation, a fortress strong against my foes, and I will not be shaken. Though lips may bless and hearts may curse, and lives like arrows pierce me, I'll fix my heart on righteousness. I'll look to him who hears me. Oh, praise him, hallelujah, my delight and my reward. Everlasting, ever failing, my Redeemer, my God. Find rest my soul in God amid the world's temptations, when evil seeks to take a hold, I'll cling to my salvation. Though riches come and riches go, don't set your heart upon them. The fields of hope in which I sow are harvested in heaven. On God alone and trust in him completely. With every day pour out my soul, and he will prove his mercy. Though life is but a fleeting breath, a sigh too brief to measure, my king has crushed the curse of death, and I am his forever. Oh, praise him, hallelujah, my delight and my reward. Everlasting, never failing, my Redeemer, my God. Oh, praise him, hallelujah, my delight and my reward.
Good morning. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come here this morning, so many burdens on our minds, so many worries. Help us to take this time to reflect back on all the grace and mercies you've shown us. Worship and praise you as we give these tithes and offerings to the service of your kingdom, that our church would use these to magnify, serve those who don't know you, Father. It's in Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Behold our
Today, Father, we behold you. We turn our hearts and our minds to who you are and what you have done for us. This week, we will begin the season of Lent. We will focus our attention and our need, our desperate need for you. Today, we look at what you expect from us, what you have for us, and what you expect from us. And so I pray that you would help us to set distractions aside and to truly hear from you, to understand more fully what you have for us and what you expect from us. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we pray it. Amen. I have the privilege this morning of introducing someone to you, but before I do, I just want to say a word of thanks, particularly for all the prayers. As you may remember, leading up to 2 weeks ago, we'd been working through a series, Inside Out, and I was scheduled to preach that last sermon just 2 weeks ago, and on Thursday before, I became as sick as I have been in a long, long time. And on Friday was diagnosed with flu and thought it was probably best that I not come and share that joy with each of you. And so, but because I felt the need to finish that series, I did preach, as you may remember, by video. And I just want to say a special thanks to Mac and his team for taking that. It was not an easy task to get that transferred over. But I again, thank you for your prayers. I got several texts that morning saying, wow, you really are sick. And when my wife saw the video, she said, why did you do that? That was awful. But I appreciate your patience in that. And then Christy and I had actually scheduled to be out of town for a couple of days back in November for last weekend. And so I appreciate Micah stepping in and filling in last week and in the word that he gave. And so this morning, we wrap up Disciple Now, one of the most important and meaningful weekends in our student ministry. And as you may remember, through that series, talking about how do we analyze our faith, really look inward to see if God is at work in our lives, and how do we remind ourselves to look up to him for guidance and clarity, and then look out to truly live our faith out. That is what Disciple Now is really about. It's about discipleship. It's about making sure our students have a firm footing and how they move forward. And so that's what this weekend has been about, and you will hear more and more about that over the coming weeks. I would challenge you to pray for our students that, just as we prayed with our staff this morning, that this weekend does not become just a mountaintop high where next week and tomorrow is back to business as usual, but rather it becomes the foundation and the platform to continue to move forward and their faith. And so today, we have the privilege. I always look for this, and often it doesn't happen, it doesn't work out. But the speaker that we brought in for Disciple Now is actually able to be here this morning and to share with you from Micah 6:8 and other passages as well. When Micah told me that Ronald Long was coming, I was like, that's awesome. He was my youth minister. Not the same Ronald Long, just so you know. He has aged extremely well. But Ronald, come. We look forward to what God is going to say through you.
There are only about 25 other Ronald Longs in the United States. I've spoken to a couple of them through some mishaps, but I'm glad to know that there's another youth pastor Ronald Long out there. That makes me happy. My family's always had a thing for animals. Ever since I've been around, my family's had pets. And it started with my mom and my dad adopting their first cat, Willie. Willie was a white cat, very young when he came around, but by the time I showed up, super old and put up with nothing and nobody. So that when my brothers and I, my older brother Jamie, my twin brother Evan, adopted cats of our own, Muffin and Jade, along with Jade's kittens, Willie didn't flinch, all right? Willie just kept on going. Not even when my uncle, who served in the Army, brought two dogs that he happened to find on base and wanted to see what three boys under the age of 11 would just think about these dogs. He was trying to offload them on us, is what was going on. So we adopted Archie and Agnes. Yes, Archie and Agnes, thus beginning the tradition in our family of naming pets after dead relatives. I don't know why. Oh, no. Am I not on?
I think it might be.
No, you are.
Now I am. Hey, great. That's good.
That's how we got two more cats named Thelma Lou and Ellie Mae. All right. Those two cats belong to my parents, who somewhere in the mix, we got Stanley, another cat. And that was when Archie and Agnes, unfortunately, around the same time, passed away. And my parents decided to replace these two great dogs with the smallest little rat dog you've ever seen in your life, named Skeeter. And no one in our family has ever been named Skeeter. I don't know where that name came from. Then came Henry. Henry is a little white cat, little kitten. And actually, Henry was the last cat that my parents adopted, and they got him as a kitten right before my dad passed away about 15 years ago. Now, the reason we started naming all these animals after our deceased relatives was because we would, like, tell Grandma, my mom's mom, that we had gotten a cat or a dog, and she would say, well, this is a great name for a cat or a dog. My grandma was an amazing woman. She lived to be 97 years old before she passed away. She actually outlived her husband, James Edgar. She was Frances Edgar, by about 6 years. He died at the age of 91 from the effects of Alzheimer's. The last cat my grandma named before she passed was Mama Kitty. I think at this point we had just run out of relatives like to name people after. Mama Kitty was Stanley and Thelma Lou's mom. Mama Kitty lived with my aunt and uncle, the same one who brought over the dogs just to see what these three boys would think of them. In between the time when my aunt was diagnosed with lung cancer and my uncle was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, my older brother adopted two cats of his own. Jamie adopted Sophie and Gravy. There was a mix-up somewhere along here because we had decided to name our oldest daughter Sophie. And we had to tell our brother that, like, people take precedence over cats, all right? You've got to rename the cat. The cat got renamed to Chloe. And that's how Chloe came around. My brother Jamie passed away in June 2020, around the time COVID was ramping up. And that's how Mom inherited both Chloe and Gravy, bringing up her total of cats to five. My brother Evan and I told her, that's too many cats, all right? Thing is, Henry had run away shortly after Dad passed. We found out that there was a lady down the street who was hoarding about 40 cats in her garage, and Henry was one of them. She got Henry back. We told her there was no way she could have more than six. So six was her total. About the time Mama Kitty passed away, so too did my uncle in October of 2020. But this time after I went to his funeral, I came home to my wife having moved out, and me becoming a single dad, my three girls. About 6 months after that, I'd asked my in-laws, who had lived with us in our house for the last 6 years, if they wouldn't mind finding a new place. And when they moved out, they took their two cats, Chocolate Chip and Cupcake, and I got to keep the dog, S'mores. We had moved to naming animals after food now, like that's where we had gone. I'm not so much telling you about the pets in my life as I am sharing with you the hard parts of my life. If you've been keeping up in the last 15 years, I've lost my dad, all four of my grandparents,
my aunt to lung cancer, my uncle to esophageal cancer, my older brother to a drug overdose. My second daughter, when she was born, had to have an emergency surgery on her heart 10 weeks after she was born to save her life. When we moved from Tennessee down to Texas, I decided to break my leg in a spectacular fashion and have to have surgery to get me back to where I am today, but it still feels just a little sore when I don't move it around too much. Your story might be quite different than mine. It may be similar. I would posit that it doesn't have as many pets. But I know that everyone in this room has encountered some type of trial, or pain, or suffering, or hardship. And I want to ask, how could those trials and those pains and those sufferings have been different if someone had shown you love throughout them? All this weekend, we've been looking at Micah 6:8 and unpacking what Micah 6:8 says. We've been looking at this verse. It says, "He has told you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And this weekend, we looked at the stories of Micah and Hosea and Abigail and learned how each of them landed in these three areas, and how we learned ourselves that we need Jesus to be able to do any of this. This morning, I would love to spend time in Genesis chapter 39 so we can be unpacking the story of Jacob and him. I said 39. That's Joseph. 29. Genesis 29. Turn with me to Genesis 29, starting in verse 1. We'll read down. "Jacob resumed his journey and went to the eastern country. He looked and saw a well in the field. Three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it because the sheep were watered from this well. A large stone covered the opening of the well. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the opening of the well and water the sheep. The stone was placed back on the well's opening. Jacob asked the men at the well, 'My brothers, where are you from?' 'Or from Haran,' they answered. 'Do you know Laban, grandson of Nahor?' Jacob asked them. They answered, 'We know him.' 'Is he well?' Jacob asked. 'Yes,' they said. 'And here's his daughter Rachel coming with his sheep.' Then Jacob said, 'Look, it's still broad daylight. It's not time for the animals to be gathered. Water the flock, then go out and let them graze.' But they replied, 'We can't until all the flocks have been gathered and the stone is rolled away from the well's opening. Then we'll water the sheep.' These shepherds seem to me to be a little lazy." Verse 9, "While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. As soon as Jacob saw his uncle Laban's daughter Rachel with the sheep, he went up and rolled the stone from the opening and watered his uncle Laban's sheep." This is the modern day equivalent of a guy showing off for a girl, right? Now, I visit the gym with some amount of regularity, but I cannot outwork the women who work out alongside me. They go way harder and faster than I'm ever able to. I have never been great at showing off. I can't lift more weights. I can't run faster. I'm just present. That's all I get to do when I'm at the gym. Jacob shows off, opens the well. Verse 11. "Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud." Fun fact, this is the first time the Bible mentions anyone kissing anybody else. Also fun fact, this is the first time the Bible mentions a guy crying after he, like, kisses somebody. I enjoy how awkward the Bible can be sometimes. It makes me really happy. "He told Rachel he was her father's relative, Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. When Laban heard the news about his sister's son, Jacob, he ran to meet him, hugged him, and kissed him. They took him into his house, and Jacob told him all that had happened. And Laban said to him, 'Yes, you're my own flesh and blood.' After Jacob had stayed with him a month, Laban said to him, 'Just because you're my relative, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be.' Jacob was not Laban's son, but nor was he a slave, so he shouldn't work for nothing. I don't know about you, but my first minimum wage job out of high school paid me a whopping $5.15 an hour, right? Minimum wage is not cool. But these guys are trying to figure out what might be a good deal for him. Because he's a relation, we should be paid, but he's not son. Those of you with sons and daughters know those are called chores, and those are free, right? So Jacob gets to name his price. What should it be? Should it be sheep? Should it be land? Should it be camels? No. Verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, the younger was named Rachel. Leah had ordinary eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he answered Laban, I'll work for you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Okay, this is actually pretty romantic. How many of you guys out there would be willing to work for free for 7 years in order to win over the heart of the woman you loved? Okay, there you go. Good answer, my man. Way to go. Look, it's Valentine's Day. This guy gets it. Y'all take notes, okay? Can you imagine being with someone for 7 years, working for free with the hope that you would marry them at the end? But there's a small issue here. Jacob wants to marry Leah, the younger of Laban's daughters. We're not told explicitly that he wants to marry her for her looks, but we're all told that she's more attractive than her older sister. I'm sorry, she wants to marry Rachel, but she's more attractive than her older sister, Leah. So Jacob picks the girl he's already kissed, good move, all right, and the one he's more attracted to. Laban replied, better I give her to you than some other man. Stay with me. So Jacob worked for 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. If you're taking notes, Valentine's cards are happening, right? This is good. Even for those of us who are approaching 40, which is me, 7 years is a long time. My kids right now are 13, 11, and 9. 7 years ago, right? That's a wild difference between my children, and that's a big difference. Jacob, though, he's committed. He loves Rachel, and he wants to work for her. He wants to marry her. And so he works for 7 years for free in order to win the heart of his bride. And even though for all of the romance, Jacob is not the smoothest guy, or maybe just frustrated at this point. Verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my time is completed. I want to sleep with her. Jacob, you're the weirdest dude in the Bible, all right? So Laban invited all the men of the place to a feast. That evening, Laban gave his daughter, Leah, and gave her to Jacob. He slept with her. And Laban gave his slave, Zilpah, to his daughter, Leah, as her slave. Verse 25, when morning came, there was Leah. That's an understatement in the Bible, if I'll ever say. Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. That's who he worked 7 years for. That's who he loved. That's who he kissed. That's who he wanted. Laban said, no, you must marry Leah. I would explain that this is not like Jacob just being thick, right? Not understanding who is who. Traditionally, there would be veils involved, and when the party and celebration was going on, we don't know when the trick or the replacement might have happened. At any way, Jacob is tricked. So he said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I worked for you? Why have you deceived me? Laban answered, it's not the custom in this place to give the younger daughter in marriage before the firstborn. Complete this week of wedding celebration. We'll also give this younger one in return for working yet another 7 years for me. Now this is a little comeuppance for Jacob. He had stolen his brother's birthright. That was why he was on the run. He had tricked his brother. And so because of this, there's a little bit of comeuppance in his direction because of how he had treated his brother Esau. Maybe he had earned a little bit of this shadiness, but this is wrong. Verse 28, and Jacob did just that. He finished the week of celebration, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. And Laban gave his slave Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her slave. Jacob slept with Rachel also, and indeed loved Rachel more than Leah. and worked for Laban another 7 years. Have you ever thought of this story from the perspective of Leah? Can you imagine? Even your own father doesn't think you'll ever get married because of how you look, because of how you act. So even your own father believes that he must trick someone in order to marry you off. And even though you do eventually get married, maybe you think for a moment that you'll have a chance. But then your husband, after only a week with you, marries your sister. And the Bible says, loves her more. Loves her more. Have you ever felt unloved? Have you ever felt uncared for? And in those moments, have you ever felt like, where is God in this? Leah did. Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was unable to conceive. Leah conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Reuben, for she said, the Lord has seen my affliction. Surely my husband will love me now. In ancient society, a woman's place was almost entirely dependent on her ability to have children, specifically to have sons. Reuben's name sounds like the Hebrew, he has seen my affliction. Leah believed that God had seen her and blessed her with a son to ease her pain. 33, she conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, the Lord heard I'm unloved and has given me this son also, and she named him Simeon. Simeon's name sounds like he has heard. Note the relation between the two names. God has seen Leah's suffering and has heard that she is unloved. God has seen your suffering. God knows if you feel unloved. Verse 34, she conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne three sons for him. Therefore, he was named Levi. And Levi's name sounds like become attached to. That was Leah's hope. That's what she wanted, for her husband to finally become attached to him. But even after all these years and all this time, it doesn't feel like that's even happening. That God hasn't changed how her husband feels to her, because she's still naming after her sons after her struggle with this. But God has not changed how he felt toward Leah. 35. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she named him Judah. And then Leah stopped having children. I love the story of Leah, because it reminds me of how much God loves us and sees us in our pain. If you've ever felt like Leah, if you've ever felt unloved, if you've ever felt like you were maybe the butt of the joke, or the one who didn't get invited, or the one who is least loved among your friend groups, let me remind you that Leah, in all her suffering and all her pain, as she was bearing these children, it is not through the line of Rachel that we get Jesus, but instead is through the line of Leah. Leah was the one who bore Judah. Leah is the one who is a princess in God's eyes. And even though she might not have felt lovely, she was lovely because God loved her. Do you feel least loved? Know that God loves you. He gave his son to die for you so that you could be with him forever. Or do you know people who are the Leah in your life? People who are unloved that you could show love to. God tells us to show the world our love. When my dad died, I clung to the love and the kindness of my close friends. Those same friends were the ones who reached out and showed me kindness and grace and love during my divorce and beyond. Since our divorce, my former spouse has bought a house and three more purchases that you might be able to guess. Cats. banana, honey, and Mr. Mini Marshmallow. More food names. And one cat for each of our daughters to love on and play with while they spend a week at her house, or where they come back and they spend a week at mine. I miss my dad. I miss my uncle, my grandparents, my aunt. I wish I wasn't divorced. I could sit, I could mope, and I could complain about what God has done. Or I could give the same kind of love that has been shown to me by others. I could show the same kind of love to others who need to feel that. So that when hardship and trouble and trial come my way, I can change my mindset to be like Leah and say, this time, I will praise the Lord. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly, no matter what. Is there someone here who you need to show love to? I pray that you would choose to find who that person is. Someone here, even before you leave, just go up and tell them how thankful you are for their friendship, for their love, for their kindness, their mercy. If there's someone not here, someone not close, send them a loving message sometime this week, a card, a note, a text, just to say how grateful you are for them, how you're thinking about them, how you love them, and you want them to know that. And last and most importantly, we told the students all this week, we cannot act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly unless our hearts are right with God. So my prayer for you is that if you have not decided to follow Jesus, if you have never chosen to believe that God made the world and everything in it, that we are sinners who have messed up, that we need Jesus more than anything else, and so Jesus lived the perfect life we could not live, died the death that we all deserved on the cross, and rose again to show us we have a future and a hope in him if we simply were to trust him. I pray that if you have not decided to do that, that today might be the day. In a moment, we'll have a time of invitation. You'll be able to come up to the front and pray with one of the pastors and let them know that this is what you want to do today, and that this is how you would want to move forward. So no matter what trials you're going through, no matter what sufferings you might be experiencing, I pray you know and remember that God loves you, and you are lovely because God loves you. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you so much for your great love for us. God, that no matter what hardship or trial we might face, no matter what circumstance might come our way, you love us, God. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be like that of Leah. May we know that you see our hardship. May we know that you hear of our suffering. And Lord, may our hearts be turned to you, that even after we experience this pain and these trials, that you would love us. God, may we be those who would show mercy to those who need to be shown mercy, to act justly, and to walk humbly with you, our God. May we be those who show light to the world, even when it seems like there is overwhelming darkness. We know you love us, God, and we're grateful for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask all these things. Amen.
We're going to move into a time of response, and I'm going to ask, Chris will be here, Ginger will be here, and Ronald, students, if you want him to pray with you, if he really connected with you over the weekend or anything like that, Ronald will be here as well, but I'll be here. If there's a decision you'd like to make, this is the time in the service to do that. If you would just like prayer, this would be a time for that as well. And so we just ask that you reflect on this word, that God loves you no matter what. And as we do that, would you stand as we sing together and respond to him?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, none go with me, I still will follow. I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
I want to do this, Johnny. Y'all be seated. That's intro to church worship at Southwestern Baptist Theological. Mike is supposed to do announcements, but he's probably asleep somewhere, or who knows. So, hey, give me the first slide for announcements, Amy. Huh? I don't know what the announcements are, so I don't remember. Just put the slide up and we'll point at them. Tonight we have no Sunday night classes. There's a little something on TV. So if you guys don't have somewhere, find somebody nearby and ask them where you can go watch the game and hang out. Or if you're just more concerned about what you're going to eat, stop by HEB and Walmart on the way home. Next Sunday, we will have the blood mobile outside the rec center for our blood drive. So if you can stop by and get blood, that'll be great. We'd love to have that. And it always helps them out. Next Sunday night, February the 18th, down in LL39, right down by where our meal is, we will have an interest meeting if you're interested in going to the Dominican Republic. We will be going June 11th through the 18th. Sorry, I got all these dates in my head. But if you have any interest at all, come. We'll have paperwork. We'll talk about passport requirements that you need to already be started on if you don't and all that. You can grab a meal and come on into there, but that room, and I'll be down there for that if you're interested. Also, we have 2 more weeks of Upward, as I said, I think I said last week. Thank you for all those that have helped out. If you can come help at the snack bar, if you'd like to help volunteer refereeing, that would be great. If you want to invite someone you work with to come referee, thank you so much, Mary. So, Oh, and next, and the Saturday following upper, the first Saturday in March, we have our quarterly golf tournament at Oso Beach. If you're interested, call the rec center. We can point you to the largest to get signed up. And March, that same weekend, we have women's retreat, and there's a table set up by the elevators that you can sign up. They've got a good group already signed out at Mustang Ranch Conference Center. So, and if you're interested in the modern worship service, talk to this guy right here, to Corey. You can also scan that QR code or whatever like that. And that's all. I think Amy just kept pushing buttons up there to put slides up.
Along the lines of the modern service, on the last Sunday of this month, as well as the first Sunday of March, we will have an information meeting for anybody that would want to serve, not only in regards to the modern service, but other ways in our church. And so that will be happening at the end of this month. So just be aware of that after the service and even before Sunday school, we will have information out there. One of the blessings of being a pastor is to get to meet people and to hear their stories and get to know them. And I haven't really gotten a chance to know the Porters yet. Or excuse me, Potter, excuse me. I'm sorry, I can't read. But we will. And I know that they have been visiting for a while. So if you would come and stand here, that would be wonderful. They are coming by letter from a sister church in our area to be a part of what God is doing here. We are so glad. And we have met, but I just hadn't gotten to really visit with you yet. And then I did get to meet with the Kronks like this past week, and they're coming by letter from a sister church in our area as well. And so I always do this. Don't get nervous. It's never gone poorly. But as a church family, we commit to one another to walk alongside each other and grow in our faith. And if you are willing to accept each of these couples and to really welcome them into this family, to pray for them, to walk alongside them as we grow and learn what it means to follow Jesus together, would you say, welcome home? That's your church family. I'm going to ask you to stay here, and folks can come by and greet you on their way out. I will be in the Welcome Center if you'd come, if you'd like to come and talk to me. I do still have the cough, but I'm not contagious, so nobody panic. We'll be fine. As we are dismissed today, Ronald, thank you for that wonderful word and for being here with our students and sharing your story and your life with them, and so we appreciate that very much. As we are dismissed today, may the God who loves us more than we can ever truly fully understand remind you today that regardless of where you are loved. Amen. We're dismissed. Take it.